Hi and welcome to SEL, the Subject Composition and Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robinonphoto.com. This is my little audio diary about my journey to the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a good week. This is going to be a short podcast because I'm driving to work, as ever, at about 7:30 on Monday morning. But my car's playing up a bit. I think the timing's gone out on the engine because it's making a bit of a rattling sound. So it's kind of, the normal engine noise that you hear will be even higher than normal. But it means I've got to feather the throttle a little bit to keep the engine quiet, and it's a little bit fiddly. So, first though, as ever, a little quick word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting.com. As you know, if you've ever been in on a conference call, they're pretty boring things. With GoToMeeting though, what you can do is you can actually show all the members of the conference call what's on your PC screen as you're doing the conference call. So as you're talking to people about how great sales need to be this week, or about this new wonderful product that's coming in, or the minutes to a meeting or anything like that, they can be not only listening to your wonderful voice, but also looking at what's on your screen. So what this means is conference calls become more interactive, a lot more interesting, more productive, and you'll end up saving loads of money on time because you won't have to keep explaining things and people will do things right first time. But also you'll save a load of money on costs as well in terms of travel, because with a GoToMeeting conference, it's almost as good as actually being there yourself. So you don't have to waste time with trains, planes and automobiles. You just do it over the phone and it's going to be just as good as if you were there in person. Now, all you've got to do to try it for free for 30 days is visit the website GoToMeeting.com, and there's a little button on it that says try it free. And when you do, can you make sure you just put in the promo code PODCAST? Because that means we get, that means GoToMeeting know that we've sent you there. So all you have to do is visit the URL GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and put in the promo code PODCAST, and you can play it for free. Play it. You can use it for free for 30 days. So try it out now. GoToMeeting. Make your conference calls as more productive, more fun, more interactive, and save your company loads of money. Now, following on from last week's podcast on general sort of tips, I thought I'd just do a few little compositional tips, I guess. Now remember, and whenever I'm talking about tips or guides or rules and things like that, photography is what you make it. You know, you don't have to do anything with your photographs that you don't want to. Sometimes the best photographs are the ones that are just snapped away because they capture a moment and they're not really too pre-visualized or too thought out. But one of the things that happens when you are sort of getting into photography, and it's always worth revisiting anyway throughout your time with photography, is a scene will present itself in front of you. And maybe it's a wonderful sunset, maybe it's a street scene, maybe it's a bird sitting on a perch, maybe it's a still life, you know, some flowers on a table. You know, and you've got this whole scene in front of you, and the thing with our eyes is that we can look around and we can look at what's interesting to us and focus on that and appreciate what we're seeing in front of us. But the problem with the camera is, you know, when you're looking through that viewfinder or looking at that LCD screen on the back of the camera, you know, what you do, because you can only choose certain parts of the scene, and, you know, where do you lay everything out? I can't remember who said it, but there was I read a quote once, it was really an idea, that was basically saying about landscape for painters. Now, the big advantage a landscape painter has is that to start off with, they have a blank canvas, and then they can paint and draw onto the canvas all the interesting things that they want the viewer to see. So they start with nothing and end up with what they want. Where with photographers, it's the other way around. We start with everything in front of us that we could potentially photograph. And then by using our point of view and our lens, we can then sort of choose which part of the scene or the landscape in front of us we choose to pick and show the viewer. And so what I'd like to talk about today is just a few little things that can help you choose where to point your camera and what sort of viewpoint to use. Now the first thing I'd say as far as composition goes is a real basic one, but you know, whatever's meant to be straight, have it straight. This is more of a technique sort of tip. So what that means, if you're in front of a landscape and say there's a horizon or there's some lampposts or some buildings, try and get, if you want it to look straight, really try and get it straight. So that means one thing, you know, a thing that can really easily spoil a photograph is say it's a sunset with the horizon over the sea. One thing that can spoil it to the viewer, that can make the viewer feel slightly uneasy, is if the horizon isn't quite straight. Now, I'm not saying horizons have to be straight, but it tends to be, if you want it at an angle, make it at quite a bit of an angle. Don't just make it slightly off. And you can do this a number of ways. You know, with the camera, use a bubble level on the top of your camera, or look at the level on your tripod. Or often it's easier to just check it in post-processing using something like a guide on the screen, just to lay it across the horizon and then just rotate the horizon just so it's spot on. And if you want it out of kilter to give that that strange effect, then make it a long way out of kilter. If you've got a problem between verticals and horizontals clashing with each other because of perspective, so you may well find you can't get the lamppost and the horizon straight because of the way that the lie of the land is, we tend to like to see vertical straight. And we're not always that bothered about horizontals. So if there's say you're doing a cityscape with buildings, and then in the background you can see maybe a little bit of the horizon, but it's on a hill or something, or it's slightly off, get the building straight and the lamppost straight, because that's what will make us feel uneasy is if those buildings and lampposts are slightly off kilter. Again, if you want the angled look, get them really angled over, but not just a little bit. It's better to have them a lot out of, you know, a lot leaning over, rather than not much at all. So watch out for that one. Real simple tip. And often you'll find on most cameras there will be an option to turn on some kind of guide on your LCD screen on the back, and if you've got an electronic viewfinder, on the viewfinder too. And even some of the posher DSLRs actually have a horizon that can appear on the viewfinder that shows you whether you're level or not, with a kind of a built-in electronic spirit level inside the camera. Now the next compositional tip is the rule of thirds. Now the rule of thirds, you toss it backwards and forwards whether it actually makes any whether it makes any difference, where it's come from, is it really the golden mean, and there's all these discussions backwards and forth about whether it's any good or not. But if you ask me, the rule of thirds is a great way of getting you thinking about composition and changing your photographs to make them look slightly interesting. And whether it be the golden mean or thirds, there's no doubting that if you follow the rule of thirds, your photographs will look more professional than they did if you don't. So the rule of thirds is dead easy. All you do is you split the scene in front of you through your viewfinder up into six equal boxes by drawing two vertical lines and two horizontal lines, a bit like a very small chessboard, like a tic-tac-toe or a noughts and crosses board. And where those lines intersect, we'll call them power points. Not the presentation, but just PowerPoints. And all you do is that when you're composing a scene, line up your horizons on either the upper or the lower rule of thirds, and that's whether your camera's in portrait or landscape mode. And then put your main subject on one of those PowerPoints where those lines meet. So a good example, dead simple, you're shooting a sunset, the sun's coming down. It's just above the horizon. One of the things you could do, you could line the horizon up with the lower rule of thirds, and if you're lucky enough to get the sun in that position, put the sun on the PowerPoint on where the higher of the horizontal line comes across, and where the right hand vertical comes up, so you pop it there. Say you're doing a portrait of a person. When you're in portraits, the most important things tend to be the eyes. So what you would do is you would place the person, so the eyes, or the eyes that's closest to the viewer, or the one that's in focus, is on one of the rule of thirds. Sorry, one of the PowerPoints as they intersect there. What else could you do? say, a tree in a field, what you could do is you could line up the horizon where the sky meets the land on the upper rule of thirds, and then you could put the tree base, say, at the lower power point on the left-hand side, and then with the tree going up a vertical guide up on the left-hand side too. Once you get into it, it's quite easy, and you know, it doesn't have to be dead on, as long as it's sort of somewhere around there. And what it's doing is it's stopping you putting your subject right in the middle of your photograph, and it's stopping you putting the horizon right in the middle of your photograph, because that's what we tend to try and do naturally, because that's where our camera focuses. In order to do the rule of thirds, you do have to be able to do something called focus and recompose. And all that means is, you know, normally cameras are set up so that when you press the shutter button halfway down, they will focus on what's in the middle of the scene and set the exposure for that. And so what you've got to do is, say, the example with the tree in the field where the tree's off to one side, point your camera with the tree in the middle of the camera, press the shutter button halfway down. What that then does is sets the focus and the exposure for the tree, and then all you do is with your button still halfway down, move your camera so you get the tree in the correct position for the composition that you want. Dead easy. So the rule of thirds, play around with it, give it a go. It's not hard and fast law or anything like that, but it does give you an idea of where to start when you've got a scene in front of you. The next sort of guide and tip for composition is layering. And what this means is, when you've got a scene in front of you, with cameras, well, with most cameras, it's two-dimensional. So when you take a photograph of a seascape, say, in front of you, or a cityscape, we're turning something that is really three-dimensional and dynamic into, you know, a two-dimensional thing that will look on a screen or on a piece of paper. Obviously, there's 3D cameras coming out now, so, you know, they're going to change everything. So the challenge is, how do we give depth and that dimensionality to our photos? With layering, what you're thinking about is foreground, middle, and background. So when you're looking at the picture, the scene in front of you, think, right, have I got something that's fairly close to me that I could put into the picture? You know, and then have I got something, maybe the subject, that's a little bit further away? And there is there something in the distance that can I get in the picture as well? So, again, dead simple example. You're at the beach shooting a sunset. So you've kind of got the sun and the horizon, and maybe there's an island right in the distance, which is a, sort of in the far distance. In the middle ground, you've got the sea, and maybe some nice waves, or maybe there's a pier or something like that. And then right in front of you, there's a rock, a nice wet rock with some seaweed on. So there, straight away, what you want to do is arrange your composition so that you get the rock in the picture, because that's your foreground, the sea or the pier that's in the sort of middle ground, and then you've got your sun and the everything else further away. And what that enables you to do is to be able to really give depth to your photograph in a simple manner, without having to really worry about your flat picture, your photo starting to look flat and boring. Now, this can become a bit of a challenge in different situations, because you might always be able to find the foreground. But don't dismiss even fairly boring foregrounds. I was listening to the typical shutterbug podcast the other day, and one chap was talking about how he was taking a picture of a river, and he had like the middle ground of the river, and then there was something on the other side that was interesting, and the foreground was basically just the little bit of land that was jutting out by his feet. But it wasn't particularly interesting. And he was wondering whether he should have used it or not. And the answer is, well, you don't always know, so, you know, try two photographs or more when you're there, one with it in and one with it out. But when he got home and looked at it on his computer and sort of compared it with other people, the general feeling was it was better to have that little bit of foreground interest, because it kind of rooted the viewer where they were and gave that photograph depth. So there we go. So there's another tip. Foreground, middle, and background. Just think about that. Think about the layering of your photographs, how things go together, and how you can give your photograph depth that way. Now, next one, leading lines. Now, this is an interesting one, and the one I find most dynamic, and sometimes it can be really obvious. And what leading lines means is how you would lead the eyes of your viewer through your photograph with actual physical leading lines. So what's a great example of that is, well, why do you need them? Well, you need them because they make everything a little bit more dynamic. A great example, you know, the classic photographs you take is, say, of some train tracks leading away into the distance, you know, straight through the photo, nice and dynamic. Or it could be a path through a woodland area. You know, that's another classic view, another classic example of how you can do these things. Other things that you can do as well are things like rivers snaking through the scene. Electricity pylons are another way of doing it, as you go through a scene that way. What else is there? You could also have with a road. You know, the classic American sort of desert picture of a road zooming towards the mountain, straight as a die through it, doing it that way. So there's loads of different lines, and they don't always have to be obvious ones like paths or roads or rivers. Sometimes they might maybe shadows. Sometimes it may be texture that changes as it goes through the photograph. Sometimes it could be an implied line with some movement blur, all these sorts of things. But generally, if you're out and about and you're looking at a scene in front of you, if you can spot some sort of line that leads through the photograph, if you can get that in, it can make your photograph look quite interesting that way too. So always be on the lookout for lines. And then what you then need to do is just choose how you can place your camera to make the most of these. And it tends to be, you know, whack on, say, a wide angle lens can be interesting. Maybe get the camera a little bit lower. And what that will then do is emphasize the perspective in the photograph of everything shooting away from the viewer to make everything look that little bit more speedy and dynamic. Talking of wide angle lenses, a good compositional tip is to try different focal lengths. With a zoom, that just means zoom it in and out at different things. And don't be afraid to try what you would probably think are the wrong focal lengths for different situations. So a good example of that is when we're taking landscape photographs. When we're taking landscape photographs, often what we think we have to do is put on, you know, a wide angle lens or an ultra wide angle lens, get the camera really close to the ground, and what will that will then give us is a nice landscape photo. But some of the greatest landscape photos and the most interesting ones are the ones taken at longer focal length, telephoto, so, you know, with your zoom all the way out. Because what you can then do is you can pick out pieces of the scene in front of you and really emphasize them. So, you know, another example is, say, there's a big landscape in front of you with hills sort of moving away into the distance, say like at the Grand Canyon. And what you can do is, if you use a long zoom lens, you know, you can zoom in on those canyon walls as they're further away, and they will layer themselves naturally, because, you know, when you're using a long telephoto lens, because the things you're taking photographs of are further away, they appear to be closer together when you zoom in on them, and so you get like a natural layering effect. So just try it. It really, really can make some very interesting landscape photos indeed. And also, with portraits and things like that, definitely try lots of different focal lengths, because they will help blur the background and do stuff like that. Okay, so just a short podcast, just a few ideas there. So think about getting all your horizons straight. Think about, or really out of kilter. Think about using the rule of thirds. Think about layering your photographs. And really think about using different focal lengths for different situations to alter how your composition looks. Well, that's it from me. As you all know, I do this podcast on a Monday morning driving to work at the moment, and it does make things a little bit tricky sometimes when I'm driving along. But I hope everybody's still finding the podcast interesting. There's still plenty of comments coming through onto the blog. Everybody's still putting photos into the Flickr group, so that's really, really good. And remember, all the more help I need with ideas and questions for the podcast, I really do appreciate them. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com. You can email me scalespeeder@gmail.com. And what I'd really like to do, though, is thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. That's it from me for this week, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.